Paul, throughout this wonderful letter, has given the Christians, both in Rome and us as well, and throughout the world, a great exposition of many truths of our faith. We've done a number of summaries on this throughout this sermon series through Romans. I would encourage you for the rest of your lives to go back and to read Romans over and over and over again, as you ought to with every book. The Word of God is truly very rich, and in Romans here we have a great truths expounded to us. The wisdom of God as it comes to us in Christ. The book teaches us about our sin. It teaches us about faith and who Jesus is, how we're united to one another. Even, importantly to remember this week in particular, beyond racial lines. United one to another in one head, Jesus Christ. The Roman Christians here had given this great exposition of faith, and their beloved apostle, this servant and messenger of God, didn't want them to fall away from that. He knows that they are established in the faith, and he rejoices over them, he says in verse 19. But he wants them to be wise to what is good and innocent to what is evil. He wants them to maintain a clear and steady path in the good and not in the bad. But wisdom from evil, he doesn't mean that in the sense of ignorance of evil or in the ways of evil. As he clearly tells us, he talks and gives some explanation and warning concerning flatterers and smooth talkers. He tells us about these things because these are dangers that can take us away from the good, that can take us away from being innocent concerning evil. Innocent in terms of being connected with it, being involved in it. Instead, he says, there are people who cause divisions, create obstacles contrary to the doctrine you have been taught. He talks about them a little bit more in verse 18, which we'll consider. He says, avoid these people, and he gives reasons why. He says, they don't serve Jesus Christ. They're not serving you. What do they serve? Their own appetites. This is how they work. Smooth talk, flattery. They deceive the hearts of the naive. So implicit in that is, don't be naive. There's a warning there, and it's important to pay attention to. And this is going to be our focus for the morning. God's word to us this morning is a warning. Be on guard. Be on guard. Be aware of, be watchful about flatterers, those who serve themselves and not Jesus. They only want to do you harm. You can see why Paul might include this at the end of the message. He's given them all of this goodness. He doesn't want it to be taken away. They're established on this path. They're moving forward, and he doesn't want them to fall aside by means of a flatterer. So first, what is a flatterer? What is a flatterer? What is flattery? I would define a flatterer this way. A flatterer is someone who tells you what you want to hear so that they can have what they want to have. Or to put it another way, same thing, just a little simpler. A flatterer is someone who tells you what you want so that they can get what they want. A flatterer could be compared to a chameleon, I think. Always changing to suit his or her environment. It's as if they have no particular color of their own, no consistency in themselves, but continually take on that which is around them. A flatterer is very deceptive in this way. Their likes are determined by your likes. Their preferences by your preferences. Their vices by your vices. Their problems by your problems. In many cases, flatterers will even mimic outward, external, seemingly unimportant things as a way to ingratiate and connect themselves to you. Perhaps the way you walk, the way you hold your head, the clothes that you wear, the music that you listen to, decisions that aren't being made because of any kind of principle basis in them, but because that's what you do. We, of course, have other words for these kinds of people, people pleasers, man pleasers, and others. But unlike a chameleon, which does this kind of mimicry for self-defense, a flatterer mimics for self-advancement. So in this way, we might say a flatterer is also like a parasite. He is very close to his host, but he's no friend. His friend is really his victim. And this is what Paul warns about. He says these flatterers, these smooth talkers, they serve their own appetites. Right? So they're mimicking you. They're telling you things you want to hear. They're trying to be close to you, be friends with you, deceive you into thinking they're a friend and not a flatterer. But really what they're serving is themselves. And like a parasite, flatterers have the tendency to, once they have what they need, to move on. They don't wait around, they don't suffer with you, they don't go through the things that you will suffer with as long as it's not benefiting them. Again, one of the great differences between a flatterer and a friend. A true friend, someone who's really with you, will stick with you, even when it's to their disadvantage. When it brings some harm to them, perhaps when you are in a lowly position and you were once in a high position. People who all of a sudden get a lot of money or lose a lot of money see these things play out in their lives. It's just one of many examples. You know, you find out who your friends are, we say, in situations like these. Because those who are truly there will continue to be with you. But flatterers, this isn't the case. Why? Because they're serving their own appetites, their own desires, the things that they want. The flatterer is tricky because he appeals to our own interests and our self-love, our love of ourselves, to take something for himself. He appeals to something that's in us, a kind of inward, internal flatterer. And for this reason, it can be very hard to detect. It's dangerous. He says things that we like to hear. Or she. Flatterers say things that we want to hear, things that make us feel good. And so it seems like they have our interests in mind, but they don't. Now, if this is something you haven't thought about much before, remember how warnings work. Warnings are the kinds of things that are meant to sort of wake you up to something perhaps you didn't realize or didn't know. This road ends in 50 feet. A cliff comes after that, right? That's a good thing to know. It's surprising. The simple fact that this might be new information doesn't mean it should be ignored. To make some of these distinctions is hard, especially if you've not thought about it much before, if you haven't made these distinctions. But that's why God gives it to us. In this, I'll just comment that Paul is acting here as a friend. He's perhaps saying something that's a little uncomfortable, that doesn't always feel quite right, that makes us have to change in some way. But of course, that's what friends do. If Paul were a mere flatterer, he wouldn't warn us of these kinds of things. He would simply try to appeal to whatever seems to motivate us. But Paul doesn't want us to be self-interested and loving ourselves and united to ourselves. He wants us to know Jesus. He wants us to know Christ and to be found in him. And so he's not going to tell us what we want to hear always. He's going to tell us what we need to hear. And of course, as Christians, as those who are united to Christ, it resonates with us. And we say, yes, this is what I want, and this is good. The flatterer is different, though. What does the flatterer want? He wants to take away from the Christian what has been given to them by God. Where we have unity between people of vastly different places of social status, racial backgrounds, of family origins, theological or spiritual histories, all united into Christ. What does the flatterer, what does the smooth talker want? Division. God, when he comes to us in Christ, wants to unite us to himself. As we read in Romans, he wants to make peace with us. He wants to create a body that is of many members and united together. The divisive one wants to come and divide us. You remember Psalm 2, the kings of this earth plotting against the Lord and his anointed, trying to break apart their bonds, separate them. That's what flatterers, smooth talkers do. Where we have been given unity with one another in Christ and with God himself in Christ, the flatterer wants division. Where you have been given righteousness and holiness, sanctification, a beautiful path of good works on which to walk in this world, the flatterer, Paul says, wants to create obstacles that are contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. And when you put it this way, that they want division when you have been given unity, that they want to create stumbling blocks for you where you have been given a clear and smooth path, why, you might ask, why would anybody be so mean? Why would somebody take away a treasure or create a stumbling block or a problem where there wasn't one? Well, Paul answers. He says, it's because they're evil people. They don't serve the Lord Jesus. They serve, and they don't serve his servants. God's goods are not their goods. God does what is right, and they're not his servants, so they do what is wrong. Moreover, they're not only against him, they're for themselves. The holy appetites of the Christian, of love, of peace, of joy, of longing and hoping in heaven, of desiring to know the Lord and his word, these are not the appetites of a person who is enslaved to sin. Somebody who is captured by the law and their own lawlessness is not going to love good things. This is what Paul taught us at the beginning of Romans. This is what God tells us, how we are in our fallen nature. We do mean things. We're bad people because of the fall. Our appetites enslave us. We crave evil things. We love division. We love base things. We run after securing our own positions, our own wealth, of pushing others out of the way, of elbowing people in the side so that we can attain our high positions, or at least so we think. That's what people in the flesh want. We have to remember that, partly for ourselves, so that we wouldn't excuse any goodness in ourselves, or so that we might remember to go to Christ as we see evil within us. It's not to be messed with. It's not to be nurtured or played with or ignored. But it also serves as a warning that there are people out there who desire us real harm. Why? Because that's what sinners do. That's what people do who are against God and his Savior and his people. Warning, Paul says. Watch out. Watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to what you have been taught. They do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. Now, the great difficulty we face, of course, is that they cover all of this evil. They cover themselves as flatterers with this cloak of friendship. A person who does the things you do, who is interested in the things you're interested in, talks the way you talk, thinks the way you think, is interested in the things you're interested, might be a friend. Right? That's why we gravitate towards people that are similar to us in all kinds of ways, because we get truly close with them. This is what flatterers know. This is the in that they use. And this is why it's tricky. Of course, there are people that are fawning and they treat you perhaps like you're some celebrity. This happens sometimes. Those people are somewhat easy. Don't be fooled by them. You'd be a super fool to be fooled by someone who's doing this. We're not exactly talking about that kind, although they're dangerous too, and many kings and people have fallen by them. I'll give examples some other time. No, I'll give you one. King Darius. You remember Daniel, and Daniel, I believe it's chapter 6. Daniel rises to a high position of authority, right? Who becomes jealous? Other prefects and satraps and whatnot. What do? They go to the king, not because they love the king, but because they want to secure from themselves a better position. Because they want to take Daniel down a notch. And so what do they say to the king? Oh, most wonderful king, we think that you should have a law that no one would bow down to you or serve any god for 30 days. They do what? They flatter him. They don't say anything about Daniel, right? Why? Because they're tricksters. They're deceivers. This is what flatterers do. They go and they appeal to the king and they say, listen, this is wonderful. This is a great idea. And he says, yeah, sounds pretty good. I like it. And so he creates a law. Yes, no one shall serve anyone other. No one shall pray to any other person except for me for the next, I think it was 30 days. And then next thing you know, hey, guess what? We found somebody who's breaking your rule, Daniel. And the king goes, oh no. And that kind of wisdom coming back and biting you and going, aha, that's what I told you. I warned you. The Bible doesn't says, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was something in Darius that said, this seems a little like flattery. Because it usually does in us. We see it, we know it to an extent, but we're deceived by it. Why? Because of self-love. There's that little bit in us that holds on to that. The satraps and the prefects, they came like counselors. They came like friends. They came as people that had the interests of the king in mind. But of course they didn't. What happened to the king? Well, he was bound, he felt, to a decision that he couldn't retract. He had to now take the person that he had promoted, his trusted advisor and ruler, and put him into a lion's den. He's facing embarrassment and all kinds of other things. He's risking his own political power, seeking to shore it up. This was not in the interest of the king. This is how flatterers work. They come in the cloak of friendship. They look similar. And so we have to be aware. We have to be on guard. How do we do that? Well, the first step is being aware that this happens. Not being naive that there are, and thinking that there are people out there that, or thinking that there are not people out there like this. The second thing we can do is don't wait until it's too late to trust the people that are close to us. Now, of course, we don't want to be constantly suspicious or constantly wondering, but especially early on in friendships, especially as people are getting close to us and we're getting to know people, there is room for testing, for seeing and asking questions about what is the fruit of this. This might be true in a romantic relationship, in a business relationship. It might be true in somebody who wants to join the church or someone who's trying to win our vote for office. A certain amount of testing is appropriate. What kinds of things might we ask? Well, one thing that this text suggests is consistency. There is an inconsistency in these people. They deceive, but they really are something else. Flatterers tend to be inconsistent people, the chameleons I described before. They act one way in this setting and act one way in another setting. If you see someone who is acting in this way around one person and this way around another person, at one moment they're interested in these things, at another moment they're interested in these things, it's something to pay attention to. Of course, the fruit of their lives is another thing to pay attention to. Paul says that the desire is for their own appetites, and they're causing evil things, divisions. They're creating obstacles contrary to the doctrine. People that are truly praising, truly encouraging and supporting and uplifting you and being your friend will want the things of the Lord. They will want to serve the Lord. They will want to bring honor and glory to him and encourage you in that. And their lives will produce that. But if you see the fruit of their lives as being base things, evil things, going after not the Lord, well, the things of the Lord, but their own appetites, this also should serve as a warning. You might also ask, do they talk to you out of love and for you and for Christ? Or are they mostly interested in gratifying your desires? Is everything that you say always right? You know it's not, but do they say it is? That's another warning, something to pay attention to. A true friend is someone who will tell you the hard things. The wounds of a friend hurt, but they're a blessing to us. A flatterer doesn't go that way because they're not seeking to serve you. They're seeking to serve themselves. Another thing you might ask is, what are they, when they do help you and when they do support you, do they bring that attention to themselves? Do they draw the ways in which they've helped, the ways in which they've served, to your attention? Are they trying to prove to you over and over and over again how worthy they are, how important they are, how needful you are of them? Or do they simply just delight in serving the Lord and in serving you? One last thing to emphasize again this point of divisions. The flatterer, in seeking to serve themselves, wants to separate you from Christ, wants to separate you from other Christians. They want to tie you to themselves so that they can take what they have. If you have a quote-unquote friend who is taking you away from people that you know are trustworthy, that you know are good, that you know are holy, and of course if they're taking your mind and your heart away from the things of the Lord, then you just might be dealing with a flatterer, one who has put on the cloak of friendship, who looks in many ways like a friend, but wants to serve themselves. This, of course, is not always easy. Sometimes it's extremely difficult. Some people are very deceptive, and we don't know until farther down the road that is the case. It also takes wisdom, just as not ferreting out a flatterer would be a bad thing, so too would be calling a friend a flatterer and accusing them of being a parasite when they're really seeking to serve you. Again, wisdom is required. But that comes by paying attention to God's word. Learning how to test ourselves, how to test the things around us, so that we would not stray from the things that God has given us. How do we do that? Especially once we've perhaps discovered certain problems, if we've tested things and we wonder what to do. If we find flattery in our relationships, what do we do? How do we apply this? Well, of course, we apply it by watching out, being careful. We apply it by testing. But this testing cannot come unless we really know the truth. Let's start with ourselves. The greatest flatterer, one of the ancient philosophers says, and not a Christian, but says wisely, the greatest flatterer is internal. The greatest flatterer is self-love. Perhaps in this description of those people out there, you've recognized someone who's in here. I know I did in considering this passage. There is a tendency, even if we may not be a flatterer as a Christian, but there might be the propensity or the tendency to people please, or to have flattery within us, a tool that we use from now and again to get the things that we want. What do we do when we find that, first of all, in ourselves? Well, the answer is not to cling to yourselves anymore, but to go to Jesus, who provides us security. The flatterer is focused on themselves. The flatterer wants to support themselves, feed themselves, take care of themselves. The Christian, however, does something different. The Christian recognizes that it's the answer and the solutions and the problems and of their lives are not found, or I'm sorry, the solutions to the problems in their lives are not found in themselves. They're found in Jesus. It's in Jesus that we have reconciliation with God. It's in Jesus that we have the hope of heaven. It's in Jesus that we have the forgiveness of our sins, the riches of his glory, eternal security and eternal life. All the things that the flatterer sort of clamors at in an earthly and basely way, Christ gives to us in an eternal way. And you know, the thing about Jesus, unlike all of us, is that he doesn't change. The flatterer is one who's constantly changing, constantly trying to take this angle or take that angle. Jesus just is who he is. He's always a straight shooter, so to speak. He always says the truth with perfect wisdom and in perfect righteousness. To attach ourselves to him is exactly the right thing to do. But we don't do it seeking to sort of pull something out of him, but to receive a gift that he has given. When we come to Jesus, we don't come to him as flatterers and as people pleasers, as parasites. We are united to Christ because he comes to us, because he gives himself to us freely, all these things. He says, turn away from yourselves, turn away from all the things that you're clamoring after, all your base appetites, and find your hope in me. For the Christian, when we put our faith in Jesus, life is no longer about self-love. It's about love of Christ. He doesn't change, and he graciously gives all things. If you see that tendency within yourself to flatter, to people please, to make angles, to use other people to advance your own interests, you need to find the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to find the one who gives you freely all that you could ever need so that you would never have to clamor after it on your own in a sinful way that ultimately separates you from the things of God. Instead, we receive it in him and we find strength and unity and hope and life. That's what we do when we find this flatterer in ourselves. And when we find it in other people, we ought to avoid them. We can pray for them. We can speak to them too. We might even come into connection with them and minister them and tell them about Jesus, to warn them about the path that they are on, to tell them to turn away from themselves and unto Christ. But if they refuse in these things, we ought not to cling to them, to find satisfaction in them or our hope in them. Paul says there is danger in this, and we ought to avoid them. The Christian message, again and again, comes back to Christ. Our hope in our identity, our security in ourselves, our ability to speak with confidence and integrity is something that we can only have truly and eternally when we're united to Christ. Because apart from him, we are only interested in ourselves. Apart from him, we are always clamoring after our own appetites. And so the lifestyle of the flatterer makes sense. But it's also a trap, a deadly one that pulls them down and separates them from God. As we test our own hearts with these things, as we test our own lives with these things, let us gain the wisdom of God, and let us do it by learning more and more who Jesus is, the things that Paul has taught, so that we may not be divided, so that we might not stumble, but find everything that we need in him. Let us pray.